It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. You played different intro music there. I practically went to sleep.
I tried to switch it up once in a while here.
Well, you caught me. Well, welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective, and our topic for today is... I've said, put your coaching on ice. Mary's got a little different top title, and hers is much better. But Mary Knightlich of the Coaching Edge and also of Extreme Marketing is with us today. This is really a first for me. You know, I've been coaching for 20 years, and when I started, I would say I was a coach, and people would go, what sport do you coach? And I finally have a coach that is a coach and coaches sports, too. So Mary is a four-time adult U.S. figure skating champion. And she's going to share with us how she became a trainer of elite figure skating coaches from her Extreme Marketing Business Development Consulting business. I also have to share with you some of her other business credentials besides that. She's been an active member of the Legal Marketing Association, serving as the National Vice President and Co-Chair of the International Legal Marketing Association Conference. She's a fellow in the prestigious College of Law Practice Management at Georgetown Law School. She's a frequent national speaker, author, has published articles in two numerous national publications for me to read here. And she, like I said, she's an accomplished, nationally ranked adult competitive figure skater. She has claimed 8 national podium finishes. I like the way that's put, podium finishes, at U.S. adult national championships, including gold medals in 2001, 2005, and 2008. Along with silver medals in 2009, 10, 11, and 12, just to sort of mix it up. So, Mary, welcome to the Coaching Perspective.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you here today. This is really exciting for me, and you have got such an interesting background. I'm sure it's going to keep our audience on edge here today. So let's start right out. Tell us what you did before what you're currently doing. How did you get started in all of this?
Well, it all started years ago when I graduated from college, a long time ago. I was actually an elementary school teacher and became a staff developer, training teachers, and was certified in several models, one of them from UCLA by a professional, Dr. Madeline Hunter, the Design for Effective Instruction. And I taught teachers, master teachers, how to increase the rate and degree of effective instruction. Just kind of put that on the back burner for a number of years, and had a successful consulting practice, Extreme Marketing, helping business professionals do business development, successfully bring in new clients and enhance client relationships. And my love of figure skating started again when I was 47. I had skated as a kid and took little time off. And after skating for a number of years and competing, I realized that I had this whole model, this whole piece that I was still using with the lawyers I was training in presentation skills, the Design for Effective Instruction. It occurred to me through a national survey I did with the Professional Skaters Association, which is the national body for figure skating coaches, that we did a survey in 2012 on best coaching practices. And one of the questions was, how many of you have had any formal training in education? And it turned out that 86% of the coaches had had no formal training in how to teach.
Oh, wow.
So they're experts at teaching technique, and some of them just great teachers in and of their own right, as some people are. But I thought, imagine how it would help the rate and degree of learning new tricks, jumps, spins, program components, if they actually understood how people learn. And so I put together this program and have been teaching it for about 4 years now. And it's been great fun because I've had some of the elite coaches are some of the most inquisitive learners. And when they heard me present at the National PSA Conference, approached me to come teach their skaters, their coaches, about these different learning models.
You know, and this is what intrigued me about having you on the show. You know, we're a business-oriented show. We talk to coaches, HR professionals, and business owners. And the challenge that you just mentioned, that of working with people who have skill sets, professional figure skaters, but may not have the training in how to communicate that, how to teach and communicate that skill set to someone else, is the same problem that we see in business so often with executives that have great skills.
Yes.
But don't know how to communicate them to other people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it seems like there's a lot of parallel here today that I think we can get to. Well, great. Then, so now you've got really two businesses, the Coaching Edge and your Extreme Marketing. Tell us about your businesses. Who do you serve and a little bit more about them in depth?
Okay, well, Extreme Marketing is my primary business, and I have had that going for 20 years. And I work with mostly law firms, but other professional service providers, and do brand development, strategy, and look at ways, the sweet spot is business development, ways to increase business in the door, client loyalty, enhancing client relationships, and forming new relationships over multiple touches, and finding unique programs to connect the lawyers and with different industries, different client groups over and over to enhance those relationships to turn into business based on client needs and service preferences.
Okay.
And those skills came in very handy because I coach a lot of the lawyers in business development one-on-one in addition to doing the training and the branding. And so I took those coaching skills that I had been working with for 20 years and I transferred them to coaching figure skating coaches. In both in a classroom setting and then on the ice while they're coaching.
Okay. Mary, tell us your definition. How do you distinguish between coaching and training?
Well, training to me is when you're sitting in a room talking to a group of people and I'm giving the basic overview of the learning model. The coaching for me is when I go work with them one-on-one. So with the Coach's Edge, I will actually go out onto the ice or sit in the hockey box behind the coach and watch the coach coaching the skater after he's taken the training in the classroom.
Okay.
And then we sit down and meet and I'll talk about that and say, when you were working on that Lutz jump, I noticed Brianna was having some frustration. I wonder what learning theory model we could use to approach that in a different way and try to reinforce the learning from the learning theory model into the coaching, giving the coach greater depth of vocabulary, ability to communicate, increase retention, and decrease the time it takes to learn those new elements and incorporate them into success.
Now, how transferable is that when you go back and work with the lawyers now? Do you get to sit in the box and watch them perform and then critique, or is it different than that?
What a great question. I don't think anyone's ever asked that question. Sometimes I actually do have that opportunity to work one-on-one. A lot of the training that I do would be with group settings or sometimes one-on-one with attorneys in business development. And the idea would be when I meet with them that next time we've looked at certain things that they've committed to do and kind of checking off how did that go, what could we do to make that better if it didn't happen as well as you wanted it to. But I also get to actually watch them in action in a couple of situations. I do a lot of client feedback interviews for larger firms with their clients. And I like to bring the partner, the relationship partner, with me, ask the questions, and watch the lawyer interface with that particular client. And then we would actually coach about how that went. Also, sometimes I get the opportunity to go with a lawyer when he's pitching a new potential client. Sometimes it might be a group of lawyers and the client's coming into the law firm and I participate. Sometimes it's just one-on-one where I'm with the attorney he's pitching and then we don't talk about business development to the clients, but we talk about how do you find and choose outside counsel.
You know, I think that's such a critical part of coaching. I believe that myself, and I don't see many coaches really doing it where most coaches coach the client and they listen to the client describe what the client perceived as the issue, but they don't get much chance to go out and see the interface with their client and the client's people that they're reacting to. So your ability to watch them in action, whether it's on the ice or whether it's pitching a new business development for an attorney, gives a whole nother dimension to what you then coach on, doesn't it?
It does, and it also is part of the concept to decrease the rate, increase the rate and degree of successful transfer of knowledge from one situation to another. So imagine how effective it is after that attorney has pitched a client and we debrief afterwards and we look at what worked well. what types of things, what happened when he said this or she said that and you responded this way. It seemed perhaps that there was a little bit of a disconnect. I wonder what we might have said differently next time, and give them that opportunity to pull up that language and those skills. Because it's one thing, as you said, to hear it, but it's another thing for them to say, you know, that got a little confusing at that point. Or, you know, I should have asked a little bit more about the culture of the company or about the business goals of the company instead of talking. I have been known to lightly kick lawyers under the table if they start pitching. If you're going in to talk about client service and you start saying, let me tell you about me, let me tell you about my firm, you know, I kind of like, okay, we're here to listen to what the client wants.
You know, I don't know which would be more difficult. You know, we all sort of stereotype different professions, and when I think of sort of the stereotype I have in my head of how easy lawyers are to work with and how difficult figure skaters might be to work with, I don't know which one I'd rather work with.
Well, I there are pros and cons to both, but I thoroughly enjoy the mix and the combination. The figure skating coaches that have actually opted to own up to, you know, I could do something to increase my coaching to get to the next level. I could even though I have Olympic skaters, I think I could, you know, learn more. When people can own up to that and come to you, so I'll give you one concrete example. I don't know how many coaches people in the audience know about, but Tom Zakryshek is an Olympic coach who coached a national champion, Rachel Flatt, who was national champion for several years and also took her to the 2010 Olympics in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
That was the wrong city. I think it was Torino, excuse me. But in any event, he has many elite skaters that he's taken to national, to worlds, to international competitions. And he had me come out because he wanted to, we worked in a different area, which is learning styles. So I actually, in communication styles, work with the coaches and the skaters, and we all took the I Speak Your Language communication style test, and then processed it, and then I taught all the skaters, all the coaches in his team, and the parents. I was there for 2 days. And then we look at those communication styles, and at one point, afterwards, Tom called me, and he had a star skater who was going to an international competition, and he said, you know, based on her learning her communication style and mine, she tends to get a little nervous before competition, so because of her style, what would be the best things to do? And I was able to coach him based on knowing them both, having trained them for 2 days, and then looking at the test results and say that this is someone who would be easily distracted. And so you need to keep her out of the arena and not, she'll take on the emotions of anyone who's walking by her if there's tension in the arena. So keep her by herself. And that type of information. And you'd be amazed that an Olympic coach would turn to somebody like me, but he's always wanting to strive and improve himself and be the best coach possible. So
don't
it's
you,
thrilling.
Don't you love to work with people like that?
Yes. <I'll tell> you. Yes, it was wonderful.
You know, and this is one of the frustrations that I have, is that in sports, the idea of no matter how good you are, a coach is needed and can help you. You can always get better. And yet we turn to business environments and, you know, we go, well, I've been doing this for 10 years. I don't need any help. I don't need a coach. I mean, how do you deal with that?
Well, it is. There are, you know, some that don't want any help, both figure skating coaches and also attorneys. And, you know, it's kind of like you can only help the people who really want to be helped. And so you almost have to let some of that go. Sometimes by working with certain individuals within an industry or a colleague that they know and listening to the successes that the person had, you know, I coached with Doug, and because I worked with him one-on-one, I'm now able to do this, or I raise the level of whatever, sales or communication or whatever the skill is, because I didn't see certain things. I had blind spots. I was blindsided by things. And so I think that success sometimes will help to bring other people on, but you know, I love that expression, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Right.
But you can do things to increase the probability by salting his oats or running him hard, you know.
Okay, well, let me ask you another question. This is a question we've asked every guest we've ever had on the show. And we've never had a duplicate answer, which is just fascinating to me. And that's, what experience, what is sort of your guiding principle? What sort of guides you in how you deal with life, how you deal with your business?
Well, for me, it's something I've thought about a lot, and I call it finding your edge. And I actually have a picture of myself on the ice skating in a business suit to portray this finding your edge. And I use it both with the coaches and in business. But there is something that everybody has. There is a story, and there is a message that you have that you've learned. And it's how do you help other people find their edge, find their message, find their story, and then execute on it. Because everybody has something, has a gift, has a talent. And part of our coaching, and I suspect, Doug, this happens for you as well, is helping these people have that light bulb go on when they know what their edge is and how they can use that in whether it's business development or supervising people or coaching figure skaters and highlighting that.
And how do you find your edge?
I found my edge by looking back at my childhood. I grew up in a very dysfunctional home with two alcoholic parents, and I skated as a kid and was pulled off of skating. I kind of stopped when I was about 13 or 14. And when I was 47, they opened a rink in Irvine, in my hometown, and I started skating again as a lark and realized that I had this unresolved passion to do this again. And I really realized that I had this ability from as a child to overcome and make things happen because I had to do that as a kid. And that is my edge. I have the ability to dig in, stay with it, and work hard to make things happen. And I thrill in helping other people, whether it's business or coaching or even if a friend or a colleague comes to me for advice, helping people unearth and finding, you know, sort of the almost obvious maybe to me but not to them, and then helping them help identify their edge and then use it productively.
Okay. So challenges is what excites you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. Let me just get my thoughts together here for a minute. We wanted to talk a little bit about your business development program, you know, your extreme marketing program and what you're doing there. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, for over 20 years, I've been working at Extreme Marketing. I have a partner in Chicago, Ann Gallagher, and we work with law firms, large national, international firms, regional, local, and sole practitioners. And our goal is to help to identify what's the essence of that individual practice or law firm or attorney. Everyone has an essence, a brand franchise, a brand, if you will. And whether it's a personal brand or a practice group brand or a firm brand, we start there. What is it that you're trying to communicate and get across? And once we do that, we work with them turning our efforts to getting the marketing stuff done, like the website, and we do social media training and presentation skill training. Those are all marketing tasks and marketing skills. And we have other professionals we work with. For example, I don't actually design the websites, but I have people I work with and graphic artists and so forth. And then once we've got all of that in order, we know where we're going. We look to raise the visibility of that person, of the firm. But our sweet spot is business development. So, for example, with one large regional firm that had a very still has a very big real estate practice, we aligned with one of the major universities, actually it was UCLA, with the Anderson School of Business, and developed a survey on commercial real estate that had the law firm's name affiliated with it. And so that was their business development to raise their visibility. Sometimes it's one-on-one. We help a partner get in touch with the decision makers in their industry, but it's not the one-time touch. Because we know as business coaches it takes 6 to 20 touches before someone may hire you.
Right.
So we help them develop those touches and develop meaningful relationships so that when it's time for them to hire a lawyer, they'll be thinking of this person.
Okay, well, I want to come back to that, but the producer is waving at me that he's got a commercial ready to go here. So don't go away, and we'll be back in just a minute here. Okay, and we're back, and we're talking to Mary Neitlich today. But before we get back to Mary, let me just remind you that next week we're going to have executive coach John White of Leadership Coaching here in the studio talking to us about his new book, which is titled What You Don't Know About Listening Could Fill a Book. I love it. Well, we're going to have a lot of fun with John, and that should be a good conversation. But we're having a lot of fun with Mary here today. So, Mary, we've talked about the two businesses you have. I mean, what a life you've got. How do you balance this the coaching edge, this work with the elite coaches of elite figure skaters, your own competitive skating, and your work with attorneys in business?
I go to sleep at 8:45 at night. I get up at 4:15 to skate.
And, oh, wow.
I have to have a lot of sleep as an aging figure skater. But it's, you know, there's a lot going on with work. I mean, it's long days, and I usually don't get home till 6:37. So, and there's always projects looming. So it's a challenge, but it's exciting, and I love it. And the skating is my passion that fuels all of it.
I would guess that they're both your passion.
Well, that's true. I love my job. I mean, I'm excited every day to be working. It's stimulating, it's fun, it's creative, and I work with great people, so it's wonderful.
Tell me a little bit about the world of adult figure skating. I mean, when I first heard that, it kind of caught me off guard, because I don't think of that.
I know. It's because we only see the young skaters on television. Of course, you wouldn't want to see us, but well, it's enormous, actually. There are thousands and thousands of adult competitive figure skaters in the country, maybe 1,500, 2,000. And every year we have sectionals. So there's three sections in the country, and then we have nationals. And this year it will be in April, 2015. In Salt Lake City, and we usually have about 600, 700 competitors, and they break us down by skill level and then age groups every 10 years. And so I am now in the 56 to 65 age group, and I'm gunning for gold. I train quite hard. I have two coaches. One of my coaches is an elite choreographer who coaches for world and Olympic champions, but he happens to be in California when he's not traveling. And I've been working with him for 7 years, and I have an amazing technical coach. And they take it very seriously. They train me hard, like the kids, and I also have to cross-train. I go to the gym, I have to lift weights, because otherwise you're stressing the same muscles over and over. And then I have to stretch after I skate. I mean, it's a full-time job.
Wow.
It's like 15 hours a week training.
Well, now, you know, what this leads me to is sort of the question in coaching. Can you coach someone in a field that you know nothing about? I mean, and there's two theories. When we talk about business coaching, some people go, well, you know, if you've never been involved in that kind of a business, how can you coach somebody about it? You're involved as a professional skater yourself, competitively.
Competitive, not professional. It's a big black hole.
All right, excuse me. You're right. Bad choice of word. Competitive skating. And you're involved in coaching people in it. Do you have to be a competitive skater to be a good coach of coaches?
Well, I think for me to try to coach the elite coaches I'm coaching, if I wasn't a figure skater and did not understand the different jumps and the scenarios and the judging system, it would be difficult to give them specific feedback. But to coach somebody, and if you're coaching in just in terms of understanding, for example, learning theory, if I were coaching a swimming coach, I know nothing about that, but I think it would be helpful to take the coach's edge training to understand how people learn, because they would have the same struggles with someone swimming or hockey or gymnastics, anything about, you know, you're having trouble communicating. So in some ways, I think you don't have to know the discipline, but in some ways it really helps to, because you can take it to a deeper level.
When you convert that over to business, now your marketing niche, your brand is sort of working with attorneys in business development. How about working with somebody other than attorneys in business development? How comfortable would you be with that?
Well, I'm very comfortable with service providers. So I have clients that are architects and engineers and accountants and any field that's a service provider, because it's a business, personal, business-to-business relationship. What I would be very uncomfortable with would be trying to help someone that has a manufacturing business and sell that product online. I have no knowledge of how to do that, so it would be a total disconnect. But if you're in professional services, I don't feel I need to know architecture. I need to get schooled, and I would talk with them and listen and find out their clients, and then interview some clients to find out how they make their choices in selecting an architectural firm, so to make sure that I'm relevant. But I don't think I have to be an architect or know that, or be a lawyer, for example, to coach lawyers. You just have to understand the the concept of professional services.
And there's a language that you have to learn, the terminologies
for each of those. Right, like you would never say to a law firm, your customer.
Yeah.
Right, it's your client, right. And if you went in and said that, you'd be out the door before you finished your second sentence because they would realize you didn't know their business.
So there's a certain amount of familiarity with the business that assists you as a coach that would be difficult to be as successful as a coach if you didn't have it.
I think that that's true. And because I have 20 years in the can working with lawyers primarily, 70% of my clients are lawyers and law firms, I have a much deeper and richer understanding, and I can give them more explicit responses and ideas. But again, if you're developing client relationships and you're a service provider, I feel I could be of value to most service providers as well.
Well, it's a question that comes up a lot. In the professional coaching world, there is, especially with life coaches, there doesn't seem to be any issue there. But in the business coaching segment, there is this debate always going on about how relevant your past personal experience is to your coaching.
Like, should you have been a CEO if you want to coach CEOs?
Yeah, right. And, you know, I think that this is something, regardless of what coaches think is the right or wrong answer to that question, clients seem to pick coaches based upon experience that the coach has had in the client's field.
I think there's an emotional and an intellectual attraction with a coach, and I think I agree with you, Doug. You have to meet that person, have conversations, and see how that feels working together, because that personal relationship is probably the key, most important thing, regardless of the background. That would be most important, I think.
Absolutely. Okay. How do you go about teaching coaches your what you call your land learning theory?
Oh, landing learning theory.
Landing
on ice.
Learning theory. That kind of threw me there.
Right. Well, so there is learning theory, which is this design for effective instruction from UCLA, and it's proven. And so I typically do it classroom style first, and I have a lot of interaction because I try to model the model when I'm teaching, so having people actively involved and using retention theory and motivation theory. Those are the learning models I teach the coaches, so I'm modeling that when I teach it and point it out. And I think I know that if you're experientially involved in the training by doing activities, it increases the rate and degree of the retention.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I get them right involved, working in groups, and then changing groups, changing it up, and then I might have them give them a homework assignment if they're going to be coaching their students in the afternoon to come back the next day with an issue or problem where they felt they could have been more effective, and try to work through those and give as much specificity as possible to the specific individual coaches.
And that process is what you call your landing learning theory?
Right. Landing learning theory is really taking this Hunter model, this design for effective instruction, the theory of how people learn, and then landing it on the ice. In other words, teaching it to coaches who've never had formal training in how people learn. What's amazing to me and stupefying, and I would suspect it goes across all sports, that even great coaches that have had no training in how people learn are just own this model. They teach this way. For example, one of the theories is if someone's having difficulty, you're going to correct somebody. Don't just say that was better, but tell them why that was better. Or no, like your coach will cut, you'll come to the board skating after you do a jump and the coach will say that wasn't good. Well, you need to say to me why that wasn't good, or what is the next step.
Sure, what can I do with that information?
Right. So and also, for example, when you demonstrate, you want to show the correct way and then show what the student did that was incorrect, because the mind picks up the first piece of information to a greater degree. So giving a coach that piece of information when they're typically, they come back and say, do you know that your arms were on the left side of your body on that jump? They're supposed to be on the right side. So the learning theory says, model, show them, pull the arms into the right side, and then say, what you did, Sam, was pull them over to the left and it pulled you off your center. Go out and try again, concentrating on keeping it to the right. And then when they come back, give them feedback on that. So, you know, for coaches to know that little piece of information could be so helpful.
And how applicable is that exact same teaching, learning, coaching method to business environments?
I use it all the time. So it's basically positive reinforcement. So if I'm coaching a partner in business development and they come back and we talk about, here were your assignments and how did this go and what happened, we talk about what went well first. How did that go? Mm-hmm. What did you say? And when you said that, and if it didn't go well, we talk about, well, I wonder how you could have said that. One, and then listen to them, and then provide them a positive example, and then say, it seems like you did it this way. But first give them the correct way that they might have said that. Like they might have shut down the conversation by saying it in a certain way that was didn't work as well as it might have.
And how many managers have you ever run into that have had any teaching, any training?
Managers? Lawyers?
Business lawyers in how to do this?
Well, at this point, now the 20-some-odd years I've been there, when I started out, there were very few law firm marketing consultants. I was one of the first. I hate to say, it makes me kind of old, but it's true. But now, a lot of law firms are providing business development training and coaching and hiring people to be full-time employees, and so it's changed.
Okay.
But at the beginning, you know, just like there are great coaches, I was saying figure skating coaches that just get it, they just live, breathe, and eat and know how to teach, no one ever taught them, it just comes to them, it's trial and error. There are great rainmakers or business developer lawyers that have never had any training, but they understand to focus on the client needs. They understand they have to be consistent. They understand they have to follow up in unique, meaningful ways for that client. And they live and breathe it. It's not something they just say, okay, for the next hour, I'm going to go through my Rolodex and call some people. It's part of who they are. They're joie de vivre. So just like there are great athletes, there are great teachers, there are great business developers, rainmakers, and there are great coaches. I mean, there are some people. But you can increase the rate and degree of their success by refining what they already know to take it to the next level. And that is the most satisfying of all, is working with people who get it and say, I'd even like to be better.
So for the audience, do any of you get the feeling that Mary loves this stuff? Boy, you got me ready to go. I want to go out and do some business development.
No, come on, I'll give you a lesson. Come to the ice tomorrow morning. 6 a.m.
It's 6 a.m. You know, give us an example of maybe one of your proudest moments from your work at the Coaching's Edge.
I would say I've had a couple, but this summer, just a few weeks ago, I came back from Monument, Colorado, and I worked with our national silver medalist coach, Corey Aide. She's a remarkable coach, and she brought me out there. I mean, she's so successful. She has so much success with her skaters, but she brought me out there to teach her skaters and the coaching team communication styles, the I speak communication styles, to make more of a team among all of her skaters, and to increase the rate and degree of how they impact and work together. I got to watch them on the ice, and we got to look at their communication style. And then the next day when we had our group session, we got to talk about that with the kids. We were broken down into the four different communication styles, and we talked about how does that work? Your style is this, your coach's style is that. And what could we, you know, now that you know that, how do you think you might ask your coach to do something that you want to get done next time? You know, would you give a lot of detail? Would you give the big picture? Or what's important to the coach? And so for me, those 3 days in Monument were one of the most exciting moments of my life, to work with all of their elite skaters and these elite coaches that are just like, teach us more, we want to learn more. And they had so much fun learning about their styles and the other styles. One group called the feelers, the people who really are emotional and connect.
Okay.
At the end of one of the exercises, I broke them out into their styles. Usually we mix them, but all the feelers were together, and then the other three styles at separate tables together. And at the end of the exercise, they all put their arms around each other and started singing Kumbaya. And it was just so much fun to see the little, you know, younger 8, 10, 12-year-old skaters with the 25-year-old skaters, and just you know, bonding and being there and knowing that this coach did this to help her skaters be more of a team, have more camaraderie, and they applaud each other on the ice. I mean, it's already there, but she wants to take it to the next level. So to work with someone who gets that, she saw me present. She was like, oh, we have to do this. You have to come out to Monument.
Have you ever had a similar situation in a business setting?
Oh, yes. Oh, Yes. I have a couple of clients that really, they do everything that we talk about. And they ask questions, and they want to get to the next level. I worked with a lawyer, Adam Grant, who is with a firm called Alpert Barr & Grant in Encino. And we went through the brand development for the firm and the business development process. And Adam had a great expertise in privacy and data security, but he wanted to move more into mobile app law, applying this data security law to mobile apps in California.
Okay.
And within 14 months, he went from never having done this to becoming the chief legal editor of App Developer Magazine, speaking at four national conferences, and bringing business in the door. And yeah, it's thrilling. You know, he does it. He's so motivated. Now, this guy's a triathlete, though. Or an Ironman.
Okay.
And, you know, he's one of these people who, you know, he always says to me, we can get it done. You just have to give it to me and we'll put a date on it and get it into the schedule. And he almost always delivers. So, yeah, when you get people who really want it and are motivated, it's so much fun.
Wonderful. Sort of a side question. How do you define the difference between, you've been talking about branding, how does that relate to niche?
Well, there's two kinds of branding. There's the branding and the essence of the law firm, and then there's your personal brand. So do you mean niche like a niche practice?
Yes.
So you take the firm brand. So let's use this firm, Alpert Barr & Grant. Their brand is where leaders look for solutions. And we went through a whole process to come up with that tagline and what it means. But every one of those partners is a leader in their community and in different organizations and in the way that they help their clients get the deals done. And we spent a long time. It's not like we just pulled that out of the air. So once we know what that brand is, we were then able to apply that to each of their practices. Adam became a leader in app law. So what we did on their website was we have a leadership page. And about every month, one of the partners will interview a leader in business. It might be a community leader or a CEO or an executive or someone who built a company from scratch, an entrepreneur. And we highlight their leadership story and put their picture and their URL for their website on their website. So we use this leadership to connect with new people.
Oh, wonderful.
And get to the next level. So for me, branding and a niche practice, that leadership applies to every practice, to their litigation practice. One of the attorneys, Lee Alpert, is a strategic advocate, a lobbyist. He's a community leader, a business leader. And we use that leadership in his niche practice to connect him in all areas of getting people to get infrastructure projects with municipalities and other public entities. So it's real. This branding thing, it's not like a word. We actually really apply it to each attorney's practice. Another partner, Gary Barr, has a practice as outside general counsel to small and mid-sized businesses. He is a leader in his own right, and he is a leader with the small, mid-sized companies, listening to their goals, objectives, helping them deal with business problems and legal problems as they come up. So this leadership thing is niched into every one of their practice because it's their brand. It's really the essence of who they are.
Truly integrated.
It's wonderful. They're fabulous.
Wonderful. Well, look, as we're getting ready to sort of wrap up here, what have I interrupted you on, or what did you want to cover that we haven't talked about here?
Well, I guess the only thing I would say is that I have learned over the years that if you can find your edge, what's your story, what's your message, and figure out what those lessons are and how you can apply it to what you do, I think we all could have more joyful lives. And look for the good in things and have that positive attitude. I think all of that helps. Many of us work so many long hours, and I think if we're not enjoying and finding the positive and looking for what is it that I can do and how do I help people and how does this internally make me feel, then we're not finding the edge.
Wonderful. Well, Mary, thank you very much for being with us today. This has been fascinating to hear you go from school teacher to professional competitor on the ice to trainer of coaches to working with service firms in business development. What a varied career and how passionate you are about it. I get excited just sitting across from you listening to you talk about it.
Thank you, Doug.
Really.
Coming from someone like you, I'm taking that as a high compliment.
Well, thank you very much for being with us, and welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show business community.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, look, that sort of wraps up our program for today. Before we sign off, let me just take a minute to remind you that we've been working with businesses for 20 years here in Southern California, providing coaching services and training. And we would love to work with you. If there's something we can do to help you, please feel free to contact us. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, we're always looking for interesting people to talk to. Some tough competition, tough to meet what Mary brought to the show today. But hey, let's see what we can do about it. So thank you very much. If you've missed any of our previous shows, just go to dgefeller, that's D-G-F-E-L-L-E-R, .podbean.com, or you can go to our website, thecoachingperspective.com. This is Doug Gefeller signing off, thanking you for all of your support. Hope you enjoyed the show today. Hope the discussion has provided you with some new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to achieve your goals.